It was a long and grueling practice, drilling over and over again on new skills. Bean saw that Wigan wasn't willing to let them learn each technique separately. They had to do them all at once, integrating them into smooth, continuous movements. Like dancing, Bean thought. You don't learn to shoot and then learn to launch and then learn to do a controlled spin. You learn to launch, shoot, spin. At the end, all of them dripping with sweat, exhausted, and flushed with the excitement of having learned stuff that they'd never heard of other soldiers doing, Wigan assembled them at the lower door and announced that they'd have another practice during free time. And don't tell me that free time is supposed to be free. I know that, and you're perfectly free to do what you want. I'm inviting you to come to an extra, voluntary practice. They laughed. This group consisted entirely of kids who had not chosen to do extra battle room practice with Wigan before, and he was making sure they understood that he expected them to change their priorities now. But they didn't mind. After this morning, they knew that when Wigan ran a practice, every second was effective. They couldn't afford to miss a practice or they'd fall significantly behind. Wigan would get their free time. Even Crazy Tom wasn't arguing about it. But Bean knew that he had to change his relationship with Wigan right now, or there was no chance that he would get a chance for leadership. What Wigan had done to him in today's practice, feeding on the resentment of the other kids for this little pipsqueak, would make it even less plausible for Bean to be made a leader within the army. If the other kids despised him, who would follow him? So Bean waited for Wigan in the corridor after the others had gone on ahead. "Ho, Bean," said Wigan. "Ho, Ender," said Bean. Did Wigan catch the sarcasm in the way Bean said his name? Was that why he paused a moment before answering? "Sir," said Wigan softly. "Oh, cut out the Merida. I've seen those vids. We all laugh at those vids." "I know what you're doing, Ender, sir, and I'm warning you."
"Warning me?"
"I can be the best man you've got, but don't play games with me."
"Or what?"
"Or I'll be the worst man you've got. One or the other." Not that Bean expected Wigan to understand what he meant by that. How Bean could only be effective if he had Wigan's trust and respect. How otherwise he'd just be the little kid, useful for nothing. Wigan would probably take it to mean that Bean meant to cause trouble if Wigan didn't use him. And maybe he did mean that, a little. "And what do you want?" asked Wigan. "Love and kisses?" "Say it flat out. Put it in his mind so plainly he can't pretend not to understand."
"I want a tune."
Wigan walked close to Bean, looked down at him. To Bean, though, it was a good sign that Wigan hadn't just laughed.
"Why should you get a tune?"
"Because I'd know what to do with it." Knowing what to do with a tune is easy. It's getting them to do it that's hard. Why should any soldier want to follow a little pinprick like you? Wigan had got straight to the crux of the problem. But Bean didn't like the malicious way he said it.
"They used to call you that, I hear."
"I hear Bonzo Madrid still does."
Wigan wasn't taking the bait.
"I asked you a question, soldier."
"I'll earn their respect, sir, if you don't stop me."
To his surprise, Wigan grinned.
"I'm helping you."
"Like hell." "Nobody would notice you except to feel sorry for the little kid. But I made sure they all noticed you today."
"You should have done your research, Wigan. You're the only one who didn't know already who I was."
"They'll be watching every move you make," said Wigan. "All you have to do to earn their respect now is be perfect."
"So I don't even get a chance to learn before I'm being judged."
"That's not how you bring along talent." "Poor kid. Nobody's treating him fair." Wigan's deliberate obtuseness infuriated Bean. "You're smarter than this, Wigan." Seeing Bean's rage, Wigan brought a hand forward and pushed him until his back rested firmly against the wall.
"I'll tell you how to get a tune.
Prove to me you know what you're doing as a soldier. Prove to me you know how to use other soldiers.
and then prove to me that somebody's willing to follow you into battle. Then you'll get your tune, but not bloody well until. Bean ignored the hand pressing against him. It would take a lot more than that to intimidate him physically.
That's fair, he said.
If you actually work that way, I'll be a tune leader in a month. Now it was Wiggins' turn to be angry. He reached down, grabbed Bean by the front of his flash suit, and slid him up the wall so they stood there eye to eye. When I say I work a certain way, Bean, then that's the way I work. Bean just grinned at him. In this low gravity, so high in the station, picking up little kids wasn't any big test of strength. And Wiggin was no bully. There was no serious threat here. Wiggin let go of him. Bean slid down the wall and landed gently on his feet, rebounded slightly, settled again. Wiggin walked to the pole and slid down. Bean had won this encounter by getting under Wiggin's skin. Besides, Wiggin knew he hadn't handled this situation very well. He wouldn't forget. In fact, it was Wiggin who had lost a little respect, and he knew it, and he'd be trying to earn it back. Unlike you, Wiggin, I do give the other guy a chance to learn what he's doing before I insist on perfection. You screwed up with me today, but I'll give you a chance to do better tomorrow and the next day. But when Bean got to the pole and reached out to take hold, he realized his hands were trembling and his grip was too weak. He had to pause a moment, leaning on the pole, till he had calmed enough. That face-to-face encounter with Wiggin, he hadn't won that. It might even have been a stupid thing to do. Wiggin had hurt him with those snide comments, that ridicule. Bean had been studying Wiggin as the subject of his private theology, and today he had found out that all this time Wiggin didn't even know Bean existed. Everybody compared Bean to Wiggin, but apparently Wiggin hadn't heard or didn't care. He had treated Bean like nothing. And after having worked so hard this past year to earn respect, he didn't find it easy to be nothing again. It brought back feelings he thought he left behind in Rotterdam. The sick fear of imminent death. Even though he knew that no one here would raise a hand against him, he still remembered being on the edge of dying when he first went up to Polk and put his life in her hands. Is that what I've done once again? By putting myself on this roster, I gave my future into this boy's hands. I counted on him seeing in me what I see. But of course he couldn't. I have to give him time. If there was time. For the teachers were moving quickly now, and Bean might not have a year in this army to prove himself to Wiggin.